Local singer, songwriter, and now producer, Sydney Wordley will open this Friday's Schenectady County Summer Night on State Street in the Electric City. The 22-year-old Eddie Award-winning Pop Artist of the Year will perform some of her favorite Taylor Swift songs along with a mix of her own originals off her third album released last year. Yes, her third album. And you can hear my awe when she explains that her first album release came when she was just 15 years old. I sat down with this rising star earlier this week ahead of Friday's performance and talked about her career start, her musical influences, and then had some fun at the end with some getting to know you questions. I give you the young and very talented Sydney Wordley as she tells me her story. Well, Sydney Wordley, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you so much for having me, Stan.
And I got to thank, first of all, we got to have to thank our friend of the podcast, Amy Sonder, for giving us some space here at Discover Albany, because we were trying to figure out a place and we're like Starbucks or somewhere, and are we gonna do car podcasts?
Yeah. Oh, that's actually a great idea, like car karaoke, but doing it.
Do
like,
a car podcast?
Yeah, okay. That's a great idea.
I can't do it in mine. I have noisy.
We could do that in mine.
Okay.
Oh yeah, there's enough room too. Yeah.
If we branch that out,
yeah,
we're gonna do car podcast karaoke.
Yes.
You're the first guest.
What is that show? Is like the Long Island Medium? Is that the one where they drive around in the car and she's like a taxi driver?
Oh yes.
And it, so it's like that, but a podcast.
Yeah, but a podcast and with a sing along yes. portion to it.
Yeah. We're gonna incorporate all the taxi things.
The reason why I was so excited to get together is because I think you were kicking off Summer Night.
Yeah.
On State Street in Schenectady.
Yes.
You are, to those around us, the opening, the act.
The act.
We're everybody's going to see Sydney, and then these other people, we've heard their music before. So you're kind of like the kickoff. You're the Star Spangled Banner of this Super Bowl that's called Summer Night.
I didn't realize there was that much pressure. Oh my God.
I'm trying to get you a packed house because the weather's like 83 degrees. Is he a great night?
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Which leads me to talk about the first time I saw you was at Freedom Park in Scotia.
Yes. Yep.
It was 102 degrees.
Yep.
I thought they were going to cancel the concert. Kathy Gotti goes, "We never cancel." I'm like, okay, I gotta go. And you did your Taylor Swift sing-along in front of hundreds of singing moms and children.
Uh-huh.
And if it wasn't 102, you may have had 1,000 there if it was an 85 degree day.
Yeah, 100%. But still, those people, they showed up and they would not, like, we were telling them, like, you're going to get a heat stroke. We were tossing water bottles off the stage, like the ones that we brought in our cooler. And we were like, you guys need to sit down because otherwise you're going to have a heat stroke. And they wouldn't. They were dancing the entire time. So
they were.
They showed up for 1,000 people.
I got great photos. I got great video of you. My goddaughter, who's 35, true Swifty, was so mad. She was, oh, it was so hot. I couldn't bring the kids. We didn't know if I was going to go pull it off.
Yeah.
So she loved the video and all that. So that was my introduction to you.
Oh, very nice.
So then we got to see each other this year at the Eddies.
Yes. Very fun.
Congratulations, Artist of the Year.
Thank you.
And if anybody hasn't seen it, the galleries on the Daily Gazette, love the dress.
Thank you so much. That was definitely out of my comfort zone, but I'm so glad that I did it.
You stood out and you looked like an award winner. It just went together. Did you know?
No, I had no idea. I wanted to kind of, because I released my album July 19th of last year, and it's very like 80s themed. And Petra Short, she's a designer from the area. She's like based out of Saratoga. She reached out to me and she was like, I really want to dress you for this. I'm like, me? Is this real? So I like looked at her page. She's incredibly talented. And I was like, okay, so here's what I'm thinking. I really want to do like 80s prom theme. And she borrowed that dress for me and she added like the blue tulle and everything like that, and I did my makeup and hair, and it just turned out to be so much fun. Got so many good pictures out of it, and that's like the most important part, right? Yeah, the other award's nice, but the picture is that's what's the best part.
So that was a thrill. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm like so excited. And then we were on Saratoga County like a tax collector. Jason, what's the lineup? What's the lineup? I want to get in touch with these bands. I want to try to get them on the podcast. Who's coming? Boom, it drops. And I'm like, okay, Lauren. And then I saw Sydney. I was like out of the chair.
Oh my God.
Out of the chair. I was so excited. And we had Kathy Gatta on the Stan and Chen podcast last week talking about the Freedom Park concert series. And we spent an exorbitant amount of time talking about you, but it was good. I was so glad we did. Because I said, I was so glad to catch you last year. And I was so excited that you were kicking off this year on Summer Night. And Kathy has some glowing things to say.
Oh.
And so that kind of just fell into, yes, I'm trying to get Sydney. We're trying to work it out. And then we were able to make this work. So is it a stepping stone? It's not a leap, but like what's kind of the vibe, the feel when you go from Freedom Park, Kathy, don't yell at me, the Brown stage. When we talk about this Brown, you know, area, the stage, that's very welcoming. It's a very casual. It's music in the park theme, very laid back, very welcoming, water, things like that. Now you're going to a big stage with hopefully thousands of people there.
Yeah.
So what's that? Is it a jump?
I don't know. I think that with it, it's going to feel like a jump, I think, afterwards. I think once I see the pictures and once I kind of like relive it afterwards, it's going to feel like, oh my God, like I can't believe that we got that opportunity. But leading up to it and like being on stage, we're going to treat it like every other show, which is just, that's just the way that we've always done it. Like we did Alive at 5 last year as well, did some Taylor Swift stuff. That one was rained out, so we were underneath the bridge, but still lots of people showed up. It was so much fun. And with the Taylor Swift stuff, I get to kind of like put on a different persona. So the nerves don't strike me as much. As if like I'm completely being myself. I get to kind of do like the cover stuff, and I know that people are gonna sing along because, I mean, it's Taylor Swift. It's a lot of fun, and you know I'm a huge Swiftie too, so it's just so much fun to like be around the community that I've been a part of since I was like the kids that are showing up since I was their age. So that's gonna feel like a huge step of like building that community again.
Going back to Freedom Park, it was like doppelganger.
Yeah.
You sold it.
I'm glad.
The Swifty look and the vocals. I mean, I could have been on the water. I could have sworn I just got a free ticket and beat out, you know, 8 million people on Ticketmaster to hear Taylor. How much, like you said, that's fun.
It's so much fun. Yeah. Because I know that there are like the tribute bands for Taylor and they dress up like her. And that's so much fun. I wanted to do more of like my style and still be myself, but sing the songs that I really love. Like we don't have any songs in the set list that aren't my favorites. Because I want to enjoy it as much as the people that are listening. So it's so much fun. And I went to the Eras tour. I've been a Swiftie since I was 8 or 9, and I started doing music at 9 years old. So I really attribute all of this to me being a fan of hers and her songwriting. So that feels like a huge deal. It feels like a very like, oh my God, like I can't believe that I get to do this and people are listening.
And this is what happens. We start talking, and then I'm like, oh, yeah, we need to get the background of Sydney Wortley, who's we're recording the podcast here at the Discover Albany Center. So, again, thanks to them for this spot. So you say you started writing at 9. So where are you from? Where have you been? And what's the journey to 2025?
So I'm from Voorheesville, very small town. And I started like guitar lessons when I was 9, and then I immediately, like 3 months after that, went to my school's talent show because apparently I don't know where I got that confidence from because I don't have that now, but just be me like, yeah, I'm gonna get on stage or I'm gonna do it. And I played Mean by Taylor Swift. So this has been like a thing since the very beginning. And then I started doing like gigs at Emac and Bolio's. They do like the 3-hour gigs where you play for tips and ice cream. I'm like, yes. Me being 10, yeah. So that was fantastic. And then that led to, I met my band members. They saw me at that show at Emac and Bolio's. I wrote my first album I released it at 14. released it at 14. We did like Mountain Jam. We did Rockin' on the River and everything like that around that time. I got to tour with Sawyer Fredericks in 2018, which was fantastic. He's just such a good guy. And we're still friends at this, like, makes me so happy. And then I went solo, like I went independent in 2019, released my EP. And then I just released my latest album last year, which I'm just so proud of. Like that project is my baby. So, and I was working with No One You Know Presents to start these Taylor Swift shows. We started it, it must have been January of last year, right? Yeah, January of last year. I'm trying to like backtrack. Because people weren't getting tickets to the Eras Tour. So we were like, nobody's really doing like the live band thing. Like I went to a lot of like the DJ sets where they just play a lot of Taylor Swift music. And those are so much fun because like they'll play any song that you request. Like you have like your phone in front of you and you just type out, play Getaway Car, and they'll do it. I have a picture of me actually doing that. and so he and I were like talking about it. We were like, you know what would be really fun is if we like bring the live show experience to Albany, because there are a lot of fans that didn't get the chance to go to the Eras Tour. And we're not going to try to replicate the Eras Tour. We're just going to try to bring that live music, listening to your favorite artists with your favorite people to Albany. And it kind of took off from there.
So you're doing the live, I mean, you're not doing all the wardrobe changes. You don't have that crew.
I don't have that crew or that stamina, I don't think.
3 hours.
3 hours in Louboutins, that's definitely not my style, no pun intended. But yeah, I think that I would do like a really cheap, like a Spirit Halloween version of like Velcro in the back. Like she does like the full, like.
It's magic.
Yeah, it's like Oscar de la Renta. Like I wouldn't want to mess up any of those. I think I would rip something.
Yes. When you talk about the first, so Strong was the first, but that was at 14 years old?
Yeah, I wrote it when I was 13 and I released it at 14.
So this is an embarrassing stand moment. So you are how old right now? How old are you?
I'm 22.
Holy mackerel. Presence of greatness at 22.
I don't know. Taylor wrote a song about it. So
this is, yeah. This is even more astonishing because we've been listening to the city, my wife and I, for the past day and a half now ready for this. And now I'm going to go, she's 22.
Oh my God.
And she's going to be like stuff that even some words we can't put on the podcast because she'll be like, are you kidding me? So you had Strong, 2017.
Yep.
Young Girl.
Yeah.
In 2017.
Yeah.
Then magically, and how fitting is this, you release Rose-Colored Glasses in 2020, just before, as I call it, the dark time.
Yeah, the dark ages.
So life was good heading into 2020, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was in the studio. I was like, okay, we last recorded February of 2020. So this is like right before, we had no idea. Like there were talkings, like people were talking about it. There was stuff in the news. We were like, eh. Like, it didn't seem like that big of a deal. It seemed like so far away. Hindsight's 2020, you know? So, I was last recording in February. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to release the EP May of 2020. And then the dark ages hit. I was like, I already have it on, like, CD Baby. I already have it, like, ready to release. I have the physical copies ready to be out. I had a EP release show planned and everything like that. So that kind of got thrown out the window. But I think that, like, this isn't what the EP was about or the song was about, but, like, calling it Rose-Colored Glasses seemed, like, really fitting of, like, we all had those, like, rose-colored glasses on before the pandemic hit. And then it hit and we were like, oh, okay. This is, like, happening for real. So, like, the hindsight is 2020 rose-colored glasses. Like, I think it all fit, and that's me trying to make myself feel better because I didn't get an EP release show. But no, it was a lot of fun, and I liked being able to like perform those songs for the first time, like once we came back. And I remember those first few shows, like I was wearing a mask and singing with a mask on. So
it's incredible, because being at the newspaper and things like that, we would go, you know, we were going back through photos, and we did a beautiful section at the 5-year mark, just, you know, in March. And there was a whole team effort and so many of those photos. And again, being a sports guy, we had soccer players in masks.
Yeah.
We had athletes in masks, mask on the ear.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, and just remember, you know, we get emails like, oh, they weren't wearing a mask and they weren't doing this. And, you know, you were sanitizing a basketball at a game and things like that, and how different that was. And then we slowly fast forward to 2024. So you had 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what were those 4 years like to do the writing for the latest release, It Was Nice While It Lasted? And how apropos was that title? Was that part of that 4 years of the world being so different?
Well, yeah. I graduated high school in 2020. So I was part of that class that, like, we had people honking at us when we went across the stage. No joke. Like, that was actually, my parents were in the car like, when I walked across the stage. I wrote a lot during that time. I think that I had a bit of writer's block when it first happened, because there was nothing to really pull from. There was no, like, nothing going on in my life. I was sitting in my basement and redecorating it to become a studio. And that was how I was spending my time. And then eventually, because I had just went independent. So this was like my first project that I went independent on. Kind of, it felt like it flopped because COVID kind of stopped everything, stopped all momentum. So I was kind of like trying to pick up the pieces, but at the same time, trying to figure out if I wanted to. I wrote Anaheim. I wrote Both Ways, I Always Fall during 2020. Like, that was like the beat, like during the peak of the pandemic. I wrote those three songs. And then I think I counted, I wrote up to 80 songs for this album. And a lot got thrown away because I think I changed so much as an artist as well. And I had gone through a lot in between that time span, of course. So I found more songs that felt like I was a lot more selective about which songs I wanted on the album. And I don't think that I had that in the past. I think that I just kind of went with the songs that felt like they would appeal to an audience. And I think that for this one, I really went with what I wanted the album to sound like. And that's why I'm so proud of it, because it genuinely feels like me and what I wanted at that time. So I think that It Was Nice While It Lasted like contributes to a lot of things, a lot of changes in my life. And instead of being bitter about it, just being like, it was a really sweet time in my life then, and then I can look back on it like that. The same thing with COVID. It's like everything that happened, we're still kind of like nostalgic for it. Like, do you remember the first 2 weeks? I feel like everybody like kind of found their way to like cope with it. Like, I played card games with my parents. We went on walks and stuff like that. Like, it feels like a very nostalgic time. Whenever March hits, we're like, oh, it feels like the pandemic, you know, like that part of it.
I usually say this line, there are so few things that came out of COVID that I think were positive. My podcast listening went through the roof, which was one positive. The communication from a news junkie standpoint is everybody had to go virtual. So now we could make all these meetings. Yeah. Physically, you had to be at a zoning meeting, which you really didn't want to go to anyhow. Yeah. But now we can get it online and play it back. Yeah. So more information came out because of that. More became available online. And that nostalgia that you talked about, we did our group for the past 40 years we've been together.
That's incredible.
And the adage of, if you have friends for 15 years, they become family.
Oh.
And that's us.
Yeah.
There's no blood amongst us.
Yeah.
But for 40 years, we're thick as thieves. We would do Sunday dinners via Zoom.
I love that.
Everybody would have Sunday dinner.
Yeah.
And then at 6 o'clock, we all got on Zoom. What'd you have? What'd you make?
Yeah.
What did you do? And I still have screenshots of the Zoom with all the families. Yeah. And it was like the Hollywood Squares.
Yeah.
You know, so for your parents, we'll get a little laugh at that.
Yeah.
But that was like one of those things that we got together more than we do now. And it's like something we miss. We're like, oh, we need to keep on doing that again.
Yeah.
And things like that. And your music, I don't want to pick on it. I don't want 95% of the female population to hate me. Because one thing, there's, again, with your affinity for Taylor Swift and growing up with Taylor Swift, there's influence, huge influence in your music.
Yeah.
You could see it come through.
Yeah.
But Sandboy, Stanley, and wife Rita, you're not afraid of percussion.
No.
You're not afraid of guitar.
No.
Which, forgive me, Shenandoah, I find lacking.
I do too.
In the Midnight album.
Reputation, she bounced back.
Yep.
Which is part of one of the questions we're going to get to at the end. Is that Sydney's music, Sydney's writing, or is that an attempt to be different? Or is that just, this is how this song needs to be?
All of the above, I would say. I don't think that with this album, like as much as I love Taylor, I think that I was trying so hard to replicate her, mostly her songwriting. Like her songwriting is the most poignant to me, and how well, like how she can get across, like a point across so like prolifically, while also putting it into a really catchy beat. People underestimate like how difficult that can be. Like a lot of people can't do that. So that is like, that kind of pushes me to try some version of that. But I pulled a lot of different influences. I'm a huge Phoebe Bridgers fan. I love her songwriting. I love her use of instrumentation and like weird reversal sounds and stuff like that. So I had my hand in production for this one, for this album, which I'm also really proud of. A lot of it was recorded in my basement and then just sent to the studio. And then we worked off of that, which is like such a huge accomplishment for me because I didn't think that I would ever do that. I'm a huge Maggie Rogers fan and she produces her own stuff as well. But the Surrender album, huge drums, huge guitars. I went to go see her live and I just loved the sound of it, like being performed live. And then Chapel Roan as well. Like she was one where at the very end of making this album, when I was like in the last stages, like 80s song Bend, like those two songs were kind of like at the end of the whole production. I was first really getting into Chapel Roan before she kind of blew up and like went to Coachella and everything like that and did like the Tiny Desk concert. I just loved her use of like modern 80s instrumentation. I just love the 80s style of drums, those like really like stinging guitars. Like I just absolutely love that. And I just wanted to kind of like combine all of them. And then it ended up sounding the most like me because those are all the music, like that's all the music that I listen to. So it felt the most like me because that's all the stuff that I love. So
songs. Got a couple picked out.
Okay.
1, 2, 3.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
80s song.
Yeah.
4:15.
Very, yeah.
We got to talk about 4:15.
Okay.
The opening lyric to 4:15. Can you please explain that? Because I had to listen to it twice and go, wow. Because that, right off the rip.
Yeah.
So, Give me the opening line of 4:15.
You were pronounced dead at 4:15. At least I dreamt you were, and it wasn't what I thought it would be.
Where does that come from?
That is a great question. I had a dream. Like, I had a dream that somebody that I was, like, really, really close to, like, was in, the emergency room. Like, it was, life support, like, all that sort of stuff. I don't really remember, like, the details of how that happened, but they're pronounced dead at 4:15. And then woke up and I was like, I didn't react the way that I expected to. I didn't react, like, it was just, it felt like a flurry of a bunch of different things, not like me just being super devastated. It was like a bunch of emotions. So like, at least I dreamt you were, but it wasn't what I thought it would be. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, this could go on annals as an iconic opening lyric.
Oh,
because
thank you.
It was just, but the song, I love the song, but it's just, and now it means even more because you're 22. You wrote this when you were 20, 21, 19?
15.
15?
Yeah, 15 or 6. Yeah, it must have been 15.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a wonderful, dark thought.
Yeah. Yeah. My parents should be concerned, right?
But you made it work.
Made it work. If it's catchy, here's what I'm saying. If it's catchy, nobody cares. If it's catchy, nobody cares. That one is so fun to play live. We're doing that at Schenectady Summer Night. And I've never left that one off the set list because it's just so much fun to play. I haven't listened to the like recorded version in a really, really long time. And I had to because I was like linking all the stuff to help people practice, like to help my band members practice. I listened to it. I was like, this doesn't sound the way that I remembered it, just because the live version is just so like, so drum heavy, so bass heavy. I love it. I love it. It's one of my favorites.
Kathy Gatta came through, who is the chair of tourism for Schenectady. County Legislature. And again, we talked about you on the Stan and Shen podcast. And I'm here with Sydney Worthy at Discover Albany. I'm so proud I've not said Discover Saratoga yet. I was like, I'm like, do not screw this up because Amy will be so mad. But Amy Sonder did me a huge solid by making this space available and to work with your schedule.
Yes.
And I said, I would go to the moon to meet you and find a quiet place.
I was like, I'll go to Starbucks.
I was like, and I'm here, and I'm like, and I'm saying to my wife, I'm going, oh gosh, she's right. I go, we want Sydney to feel safe. And I'm like, I need someplace quiet. And I'm like, oh no. And I'm like, Amy, it's like Saturday. Yeah. Saturday, like 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Amy, you may not get this till Monday morning, but if you can make this happen.
Oh my God, and lifesaver.
And she comes back Sunday morning. Oh yeah, no problem. Use the conference room.
Thank you so much.
And this is great. And this is absolutely wonderful. So Kathy said that. I said, you know, is Cindy going to do the Taylor Swift sing along? She goes, oh no. I said to her, she's got to do, I want originals. I want her original stuff. So how does the ask happen? Because that ask, are you available? Are you willing?
Yeah.
You know, how does that come about for Summer Night this Friday?
So it was kind of like, I got an email just saying, do you want to talk about the possibility of doing this? And I was like, yeah. Because in the past, I've emailed about Schenectady Summer Night multiple times. And I think that it was just kind of put on the back burner, of course, because now I'm getting the opportunity. Because the bands that they had, it wouldn't have fit for like an opening act, which I completely agree. I think that the bands that they were choosing, like they're so good at selecting like the people that go along with the sound that they're going for that year. And I got on the phone with Jason and we were talking about it. He's like, okay, so I have some options. You can do like 2 45-minute sets on this stage and do like mainly, it's like for like the kids center if you want to do like the sing-along stuff, or you can do the main stage. And I'm like, say less. It's like, say less. I love a main stage. It makes me feel like a pop star. But he's like, you could do the main stage, 45 minutes. We would still advertise it. We still do the Taylor Swift stuff, but I want your original stuff. I want people to be surprised when they like it. You know, I want people to kind of be caught off guard because they're going for a cover show, but they're also going for original music and they're going to love it. And I'm like, ooh, I hope so. So I put together the set list, and this was really similar to Alive at 5 last year. I did the exact same thing where it was half and half. I did half of like the really, really popular Taylor songs, because in all the upbeat Taylor songs, I didn't really go slow. There's like one where I don't think that everybody's going to know it, but it's so fun that we can't leave it out. Holy Ground. It's my like all time favorite of hers.
I'm writing Holy Ground because I'm going to drop that on Shen today.
It's incredible.
Holy Ground. Okay.
It was my surprise song at my Eras tour show.
All right.
And then we're playing the majority of like the upbeat songs from the latest album, It Was Nice While Acid, and 415. Oh, and Sinking Ship.
Another, yes.
Yes, yeah. See, we don't leave those two out.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. I want to get this out of the way so I don't forget and I don't fly through it at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Todd Simkus, Ryan McMahon, Dale Ogieri. We have your opening act for Belmont on Broadway next year. We have, you know who we want? We talked about in the office for our headliner, who's currently overseas in Copenhagen, friend of the podcast, Dirty Honey, is our ask.
Yeah.
Because it's the last Belmont on Broadway. This is it.
Yeah.
So why not go with Sydney Worthy, 2X, local, Sydney Worthy, the opener, and then Clifton Park, born and raised, Mark LaBelle.
Yeah.
And his band, Dirty Honey.
Yep.
And just knock it out of the park.
I would love that.
I think it's, so I'm getting it slow and early.
Yes.
So I don't rush to it at the end.
Yeah.
And because Daryl and the gang.
We are talking about you right now.
That's right. Please.
Please.
SydneyWorthy.com. Feel free to reach out. The upcoming shows, Freedom Park is Summer Night we're talking about. The other favorite, Cafe Lena.
Yes.
July 30th. Again.
Yes.
You've played there before. It's such a club venue.
Yeah.
It's so tiny and intimate.
Yeah.
Is that your NPR tiny desk concert audition?
You know what? Like that's a really great like comparison. Yeah, I didn't even think about it like that. I'm like, I should just bring a desk up there and then submit that for my, because they have it professionally filmed. I'll just put a desk right in front of me. Yeah, that one, I think if you asked most artists, local artists from here, what the most intimidating like stage and venue is, it's Cafe Lena.
Really?
I get the shakes at Cafe Lena, because you've been told the entire time, like, this is such a historic venue, which it is. And you see all like the people on the walls, and just the fact that it's a listening room and everybody is just like locked into you. They have no other choice. They're locked in. They're wanting to see you. And if you play bars, that's not really what you're used to. So when you get there and you have all the lights on you and people are just like, it's kind of like playing like Bluebird Cafe, like that sort of thing. It's just very intense. And I don't think that usually, like, I'll play one song, I'll be a little bit nervous, and then I'll get into the rhythm of it. Cafe Lena, I don't think that I ever get used to it, like when I'm on stage, but it challenges me and it's so fun.
Are the nerves because the audience, no bones, these are hardcore music lovers. They're there for a reason.
Yeah. Yep.
And is it because like their expectations may be a little bit higher, and these, and again, there's a lot of people that look like me and older that are there who have listened to music, a ton of music.
Yeah.
So their library, their breadth of knowledge is so big.
Yeah.
Is that intimidating? Like,
yeah,
this is not, you know, this is like the Michelin star dinner.
Yes.
Like Food and Wine's at table three. Do not screw up this plate.
Yeah, I feel like I'm at a wine tasting and I know nothing about wine. Like, that's just what it feels like. I'm like, it's a red, you know, like that's all I got. But yeah, no, I think that it's people who are really dedicated to music, have an ear for music as well. I think that having somebody in the audience having an ear for music and like can sing on key with you and like has a sense of rhythm, it's few and far between at like a bar scene. And I love the people that don't. They're just there to have fun. I love the people that don't, and because they're like, how did, like, I'm a sorceress. They're like, how did you do that? I'm like, huh?
Oh,
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Shannon tells me all the time, stop. Stop singing. She goes, you have no rhythm. I dance like a garbage can in the wet.
Aw.
So I have no rhythm, and I can carry water. I can't carry a tune. But I love music.
Yeah, and us musicians really appreciate
and
you.
That Carpool Karaoke podcast, I think I could, it would be funny.
It would be hilarious.
It would be funny. So yeah. We'll have to put a SUV on.
Yeah.
I'll have to go to Bank of Rita, the wife, and say, honey, we need this. Now we need to carry the newsie costume back and forth, but we need this. We'll get some.
It's a business venture.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
And we could, I think we'll kick it off with just myself and Rita on a road trip.
That's a great idea.
And just play 70s on 7 and sing. And I think we're going to open with American Pie and just knock it out of the park. You're also going to be at Druthers September 16th.
Yep.
And that's really cool. What's the bucket list venue?
Ooh.
It's your show. You're it. You're the headliner.
Oof. That's a great question. I feel like SPAC is like, it's really far out there, but I mean, that would be like incredible coming back to like your hometown and playing SPAC.
In the amphitheater, not Jazz Fest.
The amphitheater. I'm dreaming big. I'm dreaming big.
I tell you, you know, I'll probably get grief for this, so I apologize, Christy Ventry. I like them this year, for whatever reason, I enjoyed the music on the Discovery stage.
Mm.
More than I did the amphitheater. And again, amphitheaters, names, and things like that. Again, totally talented.
Yeah.
I'm a failed accordion player. So everybody's well above me. I'm a failed trumpet player. Everybody's above me. Nothing about it, but just, again, from that ear, I just loved the Discovery stage, the intimate setting. And there were packed shows.
That's a crowd ball.
For Discovery stage. So I'm going to slip that in for next year. Into Jazz Fest.
Yeah.
Into Jazz Festival, just because, you know, let's make it a little different.
Yeah, no, I think that there's like a huge jam band scene here, which I don't really fit in, but I love the bands that are in it, and the people that show up. It's just, it just is such a like cool community. And that kind of like translates into SPAC as well, like Dead and Company, like coming here and everything like that. But it's so weird because I feel like there isn't like a space for pop yet. Like similar to Cafe Lena, it's a very folky spot, and I can mold myself into that because I really love that sort of music, and I can translate my music into that. But I don't think that I've ever, other than like Alive at Five and like Schenectady, like Freedom Park and Schenectady Summer Night, I don't think that I've had a chance to really do like the full out pop. And whichever stage will have me for that, that's my dream.
Broadway, Saratoga, yeah. Next year.
Yeah.
We can book it now.
Yeah.
We can get
on the phone.
I can call Mark. I can get Mark on the phone over and overseas. And he'll be great. Because of my age, your parents' age, one thing I love is that Nice While It Lasted, you have available on CD.
Yep.
And cassette.
Yeah. Guess what? I burned the CD myself, and I taped the cassettes myself. That was my summer leading up to the album release. I have like videos of me. I did a lot of research. And I created like the labels and everything. Like I'll bring you a cassette. I actually will. I'll bring, because I'm so proud of them, and nobody wants to buy them. Like cassettes are so cool. Because, I mean, who has a cassette player?
They're coming back. Boomboxes are coming back.
You know what? Yeah, yeah. I have like the all-in-one like vinyl. It's like a record player. It's a radio, CD player, and a cassette player. And that's how we play. Like
yes, cassettes. I made a career out of selling rack systems.
Oh, nice.
Technique and Fisher and Panasonic. Nice. Oh yeah, yeah, gosh. And yeah, they're one pieces or separate pieces, and then people would look to replace something and then it wouldn't fit because the rack was the wrong size. Oh god. So I love that. So that just is that old soul in a very young body I'm finding out today.
Yeah, yeah. I think I've always had an old soul. I like the fact that I really love real instruments. Like I we were talking about that, but like the live guitars and like the big drums and the bass and like the tones and stuff like that, and replicating the 80s sounds while still making it seem like authentic to like me. I think that I've always loved 70s music as well. Like I'm a huge Elton John fan, so I'm very excited for Schenectady Summer Night. All of it. I wish that we could go back in time. I'm nostalgic for something that I've never experienced before. Old soul is definitely how my parents and my teachers would have described me. Yeah, 100%.
Also different, appreciated, ingenious. Name your price model on your website for your download.
Yeah.
You have a name your price. There's a floor.
Yeah.
So artists has got to get paid.
Yeah.
The end.
Yeah.
So don't be a cheapskate and try to put in a penny and get all of Sydney's good work. So you've got a floor there.
Yeah.
But then the rest of it is name your price. And you do, I think you did it for the singles and you did it for the...
For the album.
For the album too.
Yeah. It's that way for like the t-shirts and stuff like that too.
New, or did you see it someplace else and it caught your eye?
Actually, so like I'll give a big shout out to Bandzoogle. That's the website company that I use to build my website. They're based like solely for musicians. They had that built in. And I was like, that is incredible. Like I also, when I released Rose Colored Glasses, I kind of did like a tiered system similar to like Patreon. And it was like, you can like do this. And then I'll do like a private show for you or like stuff like that. So they had that built in, which I just thought was so smart because I wouldn't have thought of that on my own. So not ingenious on my part, ingenious on Bandzoogle's part. But I kept it in there just because I'm like, because I try to do like the free shipping and everything because most people are local. So sometimes I'll even go and deliver it myself, like to save a little bit of shipping costs. So I'm a cheapskate. You guys can't be a cheapskate apparently, according to my model system. But, I want to support local artists the same way. And it's kind of like giving them a tip. Like I think I have like an online tip jar on there as well, because some people can't make it out to shows based on like their like distance, like their means to get there, just like capability. Some people aren't comfortable after COVID as well. So I just wanted to give that opportunity because a lot of people are like, I still want to support you, but I can't come out to shows. So I kind of left that as an option.
Gotcha. So I love that.
Thank you.
Love that. And I like the fact there's a floor.
Yeah.
Because I know they're cheap people and you get...
I'm cheap people. Yeah.
You know, but there's like... And the floor is $5. I'm like, you can't get anything for $5. You can't get Starbucks for $5.
It's true. I spent $6 on my Dunkin' today.
Because you got everything and espresso shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of the stops, not for me, on the way in today. That was one of them. All right. Are you ready for the tough question?
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
You ready?
No, but yes.
Okay. What's next for Sydney Wordle?
Definitely new music. Definitely another album. Ooh. I've been really looking into avenues into touring. That's the dream. Like we were talking about, like, dream venue. I want a tour. That's been my dream since I started, and I haven't been able to do it just yet. But wherever that leads, even if it's just like a New England tour or just like a New York tour, just going like through. So that's the dream. I'm finding some outlets to do that in, like, New Jersey. We're going to Asbury Park in August, which I'm very excited about. And I'm also exploring the option of starting a band with my friend TJ Foster. He's in the band Eerie. He's my guitarist as well in my band. So we're like, we call ourselves musical siblings. Like, we're just on the same wavelength all the time. So we're discussing the possibility of doing, like, a separate project for our music. So I'm very excited about that and to see where that goes. But yeah, I'm very excited about the music that I've been writing. It's definitely different, and I like that I'm not stuck in the same spot that I was before.
All right. We're into shenanigans.
Ooh, I'm
ready?
Shenanigans.
Okay. Ice cream? You're good with ice cream?
Yeah.
Okay. Stewart's has flights.
What?
Yes. So it's the banana split dish. Uh-huh. Three different ice creams is a flight. You know, a beer flight, yeah. Wine flight.
Yeah.
What's your Stewart's ice cream flight?
Ooh, okay. My favorite, this might be controversial or just weird. The raspberry fudge tort. I really love that one. They always have, like, the summer ones. Like, there's like a campfire s'mores, right? That one. And then something like really chocolate. I'm trying to remember, like, the names.
Death by chocolate.
Is that dark chocolate, though?
No, chocolate with chocolate chunks.
That. Yep.
Okay.
I'm a big chocolate fan, so anything that has, like, chocolate chunks. What about you?
Diabetic. So, yeah, I still do it.
Yeah.
I still go down.
Yeah.
I gave this to the VP of Finance at Stewart's, Stargazer, quote, out of this world. So I gave that to him. Boston cream pie.
I haven't tried that yet, but they advertise it all the time.
It is really, really good. And then the, I want to say Dirt Road, Muddy Road. It's got the non-Oreo gravel in it.
Nice.
It's really good. Yeah. So it's, if I was to take a flyer,
yeah,
you know, and maybe like run a 5K afterwards to balance out, I would do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
We did this with Shannon. And so we listed our four top albums. Mm-hmm. Of course, albums were kind of new to her. But anyway, so four top albums. So I gave her four. We had to listen to two of them.
Yeah.
So the two Shannon had to listen to were Van Halen's 5150.
Very nice.
Which one's I'm a Sammy Hagar fan. And we threw in, myself and my wife, the Carpenters' Greatest Hits, because we both feel that every young woman needs to know that album, because at some point in their life, there are songs that will mean something to them.
Oh, 100%.
Shannon gave me four Taylor Swift albums.
Yeah, which ones did she give?
I had to listen to Midnight's Dawn Edition on a Saturday. I want my Saturday back.
Yeah.
Sunday, we got to listen to Reputation.
That one's fantastic.
So I liked Reputation.
Yeah.
So what are Sydney Wordley's top four albums?
Ooh. Fleetwood Mac, Greatest Hits.
Rumors. Yeah. Oh, Greatest Hits. Okay. Hits. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
ABBA, Greatest Hits. Ooh, Greatest of All Time. Melodrama by Lorde. And Just to Not Be Taylor Swift, Punisher by Phoebe Bridgers.
Okay. All right. Top four Taylor songs?
Ooh, I can't do songs. Oh, God. Currently. We'll go currently because it changes all the time. The Black Dog, based off the new album. All Too Well. I don't listen to the 10-minute version. The production, it gets rid of the real drums. So that's what lost it for me. Otherwise, the songwriting is fantastic. But the 5-minute version is, like, my 10-year-old self was like, oh my God, never experienced heartbreak. Oh my God. Let's see. Holy Ground, off of that same album as All Too Well. Red is a fantastic album. I'm between two.
You're the guest. You can have two more.
Thank you. Can I have three? I'll do two. I don't know what one to choose.
Do you need three?
I think I might.
Oh my gosh, this is the warm up for this afternoon with her. Go ahead.
And then I'm gonna think of more on the way home. It's like picking my children. False God, Taylor Swift. I don't know why I said that. Dress. And then currently, I'm gonna Get You Back. Yeah. Fantastic. Fantastic songs.
How excited are you for Friday?
I'm so excited. I'm hoping the weather holds out. I keep looking.
83.
But I keep seeing rain. That's why I'm like, I'm gonna be on the stage, so.
You're on the main stage.
Yeah.
That's on the bucket list for the Stan and Chen show.
Yeah.
We've been on secondary stages.
Yeah.
Like, on our ass. So now we're moving up in the world, we feel. We think we deserve the main stage.
Yes, 100%.
So Shannon's all about, Stan, I got the main stage. And I'm like, okay, I'm working on it.
Oh, boys. Do you just need an invite? You can come on stage. You could just come on stage. We could just talk like this. That could be the 45-minute set. We just talk like this.
Yeah, and we'll have stuff thrown. I'm the bigger target. I'll have stuff thrown at me, and it'll hit me.
I was saying at my last band practice, we need to bring back tomatoes. Like, people being in the stocks like this and throwing tomatoes. Fantastic. We need to bring that back.
We'll just put a sign that says, Sydney's ex-boyfriend, and just put it off the sign. Wouldn't that be great?
That, and then also, like, Taylor's ex-boyfriends. Because people don't really, like, care about me as much. Right. So, like, if we put, like, Jake Gyllenhaal up there, I'll throw a tomato.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's
John
hate
Mayer.
There? Okay, yeah. There's hate there?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, John Mayer especially. Sorry.
We got to open for you at SPAC.
Ooh, that's a great question. Thing is, I can't think of
four people for dinner.
Yes, yeah.
Who are any number of acts?
Yeah,
you would love, be honored to have open for you.
I'm thinking of like the Eras Tour, like her openers, and like how amazing that was. Paramore would be, oh my God, that would like so upstage me, and I would just be in the audience, like, you guys can just like take the full set, like that's incredible. Let's see.
I like that with Cheap Trick opening for Rod Stewart. I feel so bad.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, Hall of Fame, God bless you. I'm kind of here for the first guy.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, 100%. I think that most of those, do they like advertise them as like a dual bill?
I think it's kind of the new thing now.
Opener. Yeah. Because what was like I went to, when I was a kid, Bare Naked Ladies and Goo Goo Dolls. And I think that Goo Goo Dolls was the... We left in the middle of it because they were kind of drunk the entire time. But Bare Naked Ladies, incredible.
That's our ask for. That was on our ask for next year.
Yeah,
was Bare Naked Ladies, but then with the local connection with Mark LaBelle and Dirty Honey.
Oh yeah,
we switch it up. So we're going Sydney Worley.
Yeah,
and Dirty Honey, Belmont on Broadway.
Yes, my parents will be so disappointed. They love Bare Naked Ladies.
If we go three, we'll throw them in there.
Okay, perfect.
We'll go Sydney, Bare Naked.
Yeah.
And then that'll be, that's a
Sydney
nice
Sydney Bare Naked is a very crazy Bill lineup name. Hey, maybe we scratch that one.
Think of the traction on the web we get, though.
Oh, yeah. Terrifying for me, but if it brings people
it'll
out,
sell.
You know.
It'll sell.
This is what artistry is all about. This is what you need to do as a musician.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
For coming and catching up. And again, a huge thank you to Amy Sonder.
Yes, thank you.
Discover Albany down here at 25 Quackenbush, which I found.
Yes, we did.
And thank you for you. And I will see you in a few days.
I know. And I'll bring you a cassette.
That'd be awesome.
Yes. I'm so excited.
Right, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.